Book of Matthew again. Let's go back to where we were this morning, Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. And we'll look at the same text this evening. We won't be in the book of Mark like we were this morning. We'll stay in Matthew chapter number 17. And there's just so much in this passage of Scripture. We may even do a series of sermons. That happens on occasions, but we'll see. And Matthew chapter number 17, and you have worked hard. We've had a busy week. I do want to be mindful of the time, and I don't want to keep you out too late tonight. And so I'm going to let you out 3 minutes early, and so just to help you with that. No, I usually typically have a set number of points in my outline. That's just the way God delivers his truths, usually in 4-point outlines. Y'all do know that, right? But tonight, because I know y'all are almost full of all the truths you've gotten, I have 3 points. You don't seem too excited about that. You should be happier about that. So I shouldn't tell you this, but what I did was I added my 4th point to the conclusion. So it's the same amount of material, but I just have 3 points. Matthew chapter number 17, verses 1 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. We understand, if you were in the service this morning, we understand what is going on here. Peter, James, and John have been called to go up with the Lord. His glory shines. He's transfigured. Moses and Elijah is there, and I want you to draw your attention to the verse number 5. The last 3 words in this verse is going to be our text in our title of our message tonight. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It's good advice because it's from God. It's good advice because it's good advice, too. Hear ye him. Father, help us tonight as we look back in this passage of Scripture. May we get a few more truths tonight that we can take with us. And when we are at points of decision, may we think of these words, hear ye him. When we have our own opinions, may we be reminded of these words, hear ye him. When we don't know what to do, may we come back to hear ye him. And Father, use the message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times, and obviously we know it to be true, that what goes on down here on earth obviously does not catch God by surprise. We get so caught up in what we're doing, we forget that it's really all about what's taking place. It's heaven. And heaven is ruling over earth, and things that happen is because the Lord allows them to happen. But sometimes as we read through Scripture, we find our own lives, sometimes heaven interrupts earth. And the world just continues on doing what it's doing, and then heaven interrupts earth. I would say when Jesus was born, that was heaven interrupting earth. When Jesus came forth out of that tomb alive, heaven interrupted earth. The Mount of Transfiguration, this event that takes place, was God once again delivering a message to earth, giving a message to God's people. Obviously, he speaks with an audible voice to Peter, James, and John. But then he preserves in Scripture for you and I to be in this story tonight so that he can say to us through that recorded voice, hear ye him. I mentioned this morning, and I'll mention it again. Peter is trying to give an explanation, and sometimes, and I've done this, God's doing something, and because you're trying to figure out what God's doing, you don't try, let me give an explanation of what God's doing. And sometimes it's good for us just to be quiet and be in awe of what God is doing. But Peter, as the spokesman for the disciples, you do know that was his role, right? It was not given to him. He assumed it. That was his personality. That was who he was. And aren't you thankful, let me just say, that God uses us in spite of who we are and our personality, in our quirks, if you will, in our shortcomings. And can you think some of God's people, those disciples, probably like, oh, there goes Peter again. He's going to speak for all of them. But God still used Peter in a great way. So whether you're the talker or not, God can still use you. But Peter is given an explanation. Verse 4, then answered Peter, and God cuts him off. God doesn't even let him finish his thoughts. While he yet spake, God cut him off mid-sentence. Well, why would God do that? Because there are moments where it's just time for man to be quiet so that God may speak. And it's a good idea that when God's speaking, for you and I just to be quiet. Just so that's why when you have your time with the Lord, your time in the Bible, make it where it's quiet. You're talking to the Lord, get in a place where it's alone. There's some solitude there. But sometimes we get so busy that God has got to interject and say, you're telling me everything that I'm doing. Why don't you just be quiet for a minute and listen to what I have to say to you? Peter wanted to capture that experience. Peter's heart was in the right place. It was coming for the right place. He didn't know what was going on. And we can criticize him saying, oh, it's all about the Lord. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. We know that. But if you had been there and you had seen his face as bright as the sun, his garment, that pure white, you would have been trying to come up with some explanation too. Let's stay here. Let's capture this. I'm not sure what this is even is yet, but I want to capture it. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's build three temples, and so we can just stay here. And God cut him off and said, hear ye him. Because it wasn't about what Peter thought. It's about what Jesus said. You know, sometimes God doesn't need commentary on what he's doing. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but sometimes we just need to read what God has said and say, well, there's a period there, so that's settled. It doesn't even matter what I think. There's nothing wrong with saying, what is God trying to say here? There's nothing wrong with that. Say, Pastor, what is God trying to say? I'm trying to figure out what God is trying to say. There's nothing wrong with that. But when God says it, we know what he's saying. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what man's opinion is. Let's get to the 3 points because they're 4 pages long. So, no, they're not really 5. Number one, let's notice the identity of Jesus. Which is just a good reminder for us tonight. What did he say? He said in verse number 5, this is my beloved son. Heaven confirmed who Jesus is. In case there was any doubt, with the sun, his face shining like the sun. And I know we say that from our human perspective, but really the sun shines like the face of Jesus. His raiment was not white like pure white. Pure white is like the raiment of Christ. Because he is perfection. It is his glory that all things are compared to. And heaven confirms and says, so next time you see the sun, say, man, Jesus' glory is brighter than what I'm seeing from the sun. Heaven confirmed who Jesus is. There's that declaration of deity. This is my son. It is God the Son. He's not a son among many. He's my son, the only begotten. John 3:16 confirms that, the only begotten Son of God, meaning he is the only Son. We are adopted sons of God, but he is the only begotten Son. God also said this at his baptism. Now he repeats it on the mountain so no one can mistake his meaning. Jesus is God in the flesh. Aren't you thankful that God thought enough of us that he would send his son in the flesh to put on that robe of flesh? Jesus is God in the flesh. It bothers me. I'm sure it bothers you to hear people talk about, well, he was a prophet. He was a historical figure. He's God. God in the flesh. So there's this declaration of deity. This is my son. There's also a declaration of uniqueness. Have you read the first five books of the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11 also references Moses as well. Moses is pretty incredible. I know he didn't get to go to the promised land. He's probably tired of being with those Jews anyway by the time he got there. He's probably tired of all the bitterness and all the anger and all the complaining and all of that. So, you know, he was with God. What a great man Moses was. What a great man Moses was. If you were a Jew and you could see Moses, that would be a pretty big deal. He wrote the law. The law they lived by. Elijah. Those stories and accounts passed down from generation to generation of Elijah being taken up in the whirlwind. Elijah, the one that confronted Ahab. Well, to see Elijah, that would be pretty incredible. Moses and Elijah were great, but only Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Then it's also a declaration of relationship. The Father calls him beloved. See, let us be reminded that the Christian faith isn't built on cause or a culture. It's not even built on the prophets. It's built on Christ and his identity as the Son of God. Right. Moses, as great as he was, you and I know this, he couldn't save anybody. Right. Elijah couldn't save you from your sins. It's only Christ. Number two, we find in the words, in whom I am well pleased. Think with me. Are you okay to think tonight? Amen. I know I'm asking a lot just to get some of you to think at all, but think tonight after a week like this. The words, in whom I am well pleased, speaks of the integrity of Jesus. Amen. God, we have the identity. This is my beloved Son. Now we have the integrity of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Heaven now confirms who he is. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father is saying, stop talking, hear him. Who is him? He's my Son. He is God in the flesh. And I am well pleased with him, meaning that he had exhibited perfect obedience. Jesus had never done anything that did not please the Father. Think about that. Have you ever done anything to displease your Heavenly Father? I think we all have, except Jesus. Well, we need to be reminded that this is his perfect obedience. Every thought, every word, every act of Jesus pleased the Father. We can't even fully comprehend what it means to be perfect because we're not perfect. We can't comprehend that. We just know it to be true. He's saying, well pleased, because he's the perfect sacrifice. Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Jesus is going to lay down his life. It's his blood is going to be that perfect atonement. This is what he is saying to them. Moses is great. Elijah's great. Stop giving me your opinion on what we ought to be doing. Just hear him. This is my beloved Son. He has pleased me. In every act, he's the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect example in whom I am well pleased. We have the integrity of Jesus. Number three, notice our text words in the title of our message tonight, hear ye him. After God establishes again his identity, it's important. There are people who say Jesus was a son of God. No, he is the Son of God. There are those that will say he was a good man. No, he was not a good man. He was the perfect Son of God. We have his identity. Make no mistake about it, who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. He was perfection. If he's not perfection, you and I aren't saved tonight. But he was perfection. We understand that he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and yet he still sinned not. But now we come to him. Because of this, we get the instructions. Hear ye him. How many of you agree with me tonight that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay. How many would you agree with me that he is the perfect Son of God? How many agree with that? He's perfect. So if we know that he is God's Son, God in the flesh, we know that he's the perfect Son of God. Now we have the instruction of heaven of commanding us what to do with that information. With the information that he is my only begotten Son, and I'm well pleased, meaning he's done everything. He's yielded in every way. He has not disappointed me in one area, in one way. Now that we've established that, let me give you some instructions to go along with that. Because quite frankly, there's a lot of religious people who would raise their hand too and say, I believe he's the Son of God. There's a lot of religious people that would raise their hand too and say, I believe he's perfect. Here comes what separates. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Separates. We'll just leave it at that. My mind's not sharp tonight. We must stop talking and start listening. He said, hear ye him. You know, I think we ought to talk about how Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We ought to talk about how he's the perfect one. But then God says, hear ye him. You know, it's better for us to hear him than them.
Amen.
So who's them? Everybody in here is a them.
Right.
He says, hear ye him. He says, stop talking, start listening. You know, sometimes it's good for us. Sometimes as a pastor, I hear this. Sometimes you encounter somebody and they tell you what you need to do. They tell you how you need to do it. They tell you they know what they should do. They can talk and talk and talk and let me explain what this means. And God is saying, how about you hear what he's saying? So you know what he is saying. Peter was still talking when God interrupted. Essentially, what God the Father was saying is, Peter, stop. This isn't a conversation. This is revelation. It's not time for you to give a commentary. I wonder how many times, and I'm not piling on Peter tonight. Peter was he's a better man than I am. He's a better Christian than I am. God used him in a great way. I'm not piling on him. He's an example of what you and I just want to ask the question tonight and let it linger. Have there been times in our lives when God is trying to reveal something to us and we miss it because we're too busy telling God what he's trying to do in our life? We're too busy telling God what he's trying to show us and what we need to do next, when God is just saying, just stop for a minute and listen to him so you can see what I'm trying to do. As we think of the instructions of heaven, we should stop comparing and start obeying. Peter wanted to honor Moses and Elijah equally, but the Father said, hear him. The law, as is in Scripture, is important. The first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, is still part of God's Word. The law and the prophets had pointed to Christ. You think about the average Hebrew, the average Jew. They, for generations, they had been waiting on the Messiah to come. They knew the prophets. They knew the law. It all pointed to who? Christ. And now you got these three Hebrews on the mountain, and the Son of God's face is like the sun. And they're trying, we can have three temples here. The law, the prophets, in Jesus. And God is saying, no, 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 no. It's about Jesus. The law and the prophets point to Jesus. No new voice is needed. We must obey the one we've already heard. That's why we take a stand on the scripture as we take it. Anybody who's got a word of knowledge that's not pinned down in black and white did not get it from God. Somebody who gets an extra scriptural revelation, they didn't get it from God. We all should stop doubting and start trusting. To hear him means more than to perceive the sound. It means to heed, to obey. So I hear what God's telling me. There's only one way for that to be true. Are you obeying what you're hearing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we hear. It's by the word of God. We know the power of what Jesus said and what he spoke. Storms obeyed. Devils fled. Souls were saved. It still comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm afraid there's going to be much to account for because we have the word of God and yet we still don't hear him. How many times have we sat in church and heard message just preached and we could give you the outline, we might have even wrote it down, but we didn't hear him because we didn't obey. We didn't hear him. Because how many times has a child been told to do something? The mom or dad says, I told you to do that. Why didn't you do it? And what do they say? I didn't hear you. And you as a mom and dad, you know they're lying to you. You did hear me. No, it's like, don't you tell me you didn't hear me. You did hear me, and because you didn't obey me, here's the punishment. But that's exactly what we do to God many times. Well, I told you to do this and this and this. Why didn't you do it? Well, I didn't hear you. What do you mean you didn't hear me? You were in church when that message was preached. What do you mean you didn't hear me? You had your Bible tucked under your arm on your way home. What do you mean you didn't hear me? Your Bible was sitting on your shelf. What do you mean you didn't hear me? What do you mean you didn't hear me? You laid out of church when you should have been there. What do you mean you didn't hear me? Well, we're not much better than that little child, are we? Well, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you using your life to obey? Why aren't you following what has been said? Well, I didn't hear. No, we are to hear, which means we are to obey him. Let me tied together tonight. He says, this is my beloved son. We are to know him. Aren't you glad that you know him? Amen. It is through John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? His beloved son. You cannot love who you do not know, what you do not know. We ought to know him. We ought to trust him and whom I am well pleased. If God puts his stamp on the Son, if God was trusting him to fulfill the greatest mission that the world could ever know, to pay for man's sins, can't you trust him? You trust him for salvation. How many of you are saved tonight? Are you trusting the Pope for that? Are you trusting a man for that? So you're trusting Jesus, right? Amen. But you won't trust him with your children? But you'll trust him to keep you out of hell? But you need to help God with your home. You need to help God with your life. I know what he says, but why don't we just say, I trust you enough to save me from hell and forgive me of my sins. I just don't trust you enough with my life. We can trust him. Then we should obey him. Hear ye him. When growing up, there was a time I was as a teenager, that 10th, 11th, 12th grade, somewhere in there, was that 9th, 10th, 11th. We lived out in Middleburg, and we had two Doberman Pinschers as pets. And we were up against some woods. I love being outside, and so they were the family pets, but they became my pets. I've talked about them before, Rocky and Duke. Those were my dogs. They were the family dogs, but they were my dogs. I'll prove it and it'll illustrate this. If we were outside and anybody else called Rocky and Duke and I called them, they would leave them and come to me without exception. I fed them. I spent time with them. I was outside all the time. So if there was two voices calling their name, they would always come to the one who was ultimately the master. And so one of my brothers could call them, and if I called them, they could even be loving on them, and they're leaving them like that. Because when there was other voices, and then that voice who was their master called, they would leave. They would come from the other side of the house, the other side of the yard. They didn't even have to see me if I called their name. If I could only get my children to be trained this well. They had to yield to one voice. I think you see the obvious application. If you're hearing him, it means you're obeying him. When those dogs heard the voice, they obeyed. It was instinct. I'm going to that voice. I have a funny story. You got time for a funny story? Amen. With those dogs? We were teenagers, and my mom and dad would be out of town, and Billy Henson would come and stay with us. You know, big NFL football player, Billy Henson. And he'd come home from work, and the gate was probably 30 yards from the front door. And Billy had been around, and you know, so he was familiar with them. They were a little familiar with him, and it's like if somebody came out of that gate, they would tear off that gate and just, like they're, I mean, big Doberman Pinschers, like they're just going to tear you to pieces. But if we acknowledge, then they're fine. Anybody could really come in. But Billy didn't trust that. And so every day on the way home, he'd stop and buy a pack of hot dogs or a pack of bologna. And what we would do, we'd come home, we'd open the gate, they would stay inside the gate, we'd drive in, close the gate behind the vehicle, and this was their domain, they were going to stay in it. But he would park outside, because there's no way he was getting out, getting back in, getting out with them there. And so he'd park on the outside, and it was the funniest thing, because you'd see this big old guy, and he's throwing bologna like Frisbees. Just throwing it as he's trying to get to the front door before he either ran out of raw hot dogs or bologna. Has nothing to do with the message tonight, but that simple, silly illustration of animals hearing the voice and responding. They didn't know what I wanted. Sometimes I didn't need anything. I just wanted to see where they were. And I'm going to admit that there were times they'd be with one of my brothers and I just wanted to prove to them that they belonged to me. Let that settle in just for a moment. What does God want? Well, sometimes he just wants to remind everybody, including you and me, that we belong to him. I didn't see the importance of what he wanted. It doesn't matter. Hear ye him means you obey him. You cannot obey two voices at once. You have to silence every other voice. You have to remove every other voice and say, this is the voice I'm listening to. We should be so in tune with God is saying, listen to him. They got to listen in the conversation and hear Moses and hear Elijah. And God is saying, it's not about Moses and Elijah. It's about my son. Hear ye him. We should so be listening for that distinct voice. And I know it's not an audible voice from heaven, but it's the still small voice of the Spirit of God that says, or it's in his word in black and white, that we ought to be listening to above every other voice. Verse 8, after all this has happened, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So why is this important? Because when you listen to his voice, you don't see anybody else. Now, there was not anyone there, but notice they fell down. They were afraid in verse number 6. Verse number 7, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Now, Moses is not there. Elijah's not there. The voice is not longer speaking, and the only person they saw is Jesus. You and I would do well if that's the only person. It was like he was just him and us. I'm listening to him so much that it's just him and everybody else just seems to fade into the background. I'm hearing the voice of God. You know, we often do that, and it's a good thing to be reminded in this political age, and I remind you all the time, we hear all these voices telling us why this is happening, that's happening, and this is going to take place in the world, this and that, and we need to be able to push all those aside and say, what did he say? What did Jesus say? I leave us with that. Our text, there's three words, hear ye him. But then in verse number end, they saw no man save Jesus only. Well, he ought to be the most prominent person in our life. You know, I believe one thing that's happened in the last generation is the tearing down of the importance of the local church. The tearing down the importance and role of the office of the pastor. I'm probably going to take the entire year next year and teach and preach and been doing a study for years on the local church because we need to make sure that we're right on God's church. But there's been a de-emphasis on the church, being a de-emphasis on the pastor. A de-emphasis on the structure of the home with the parents and the children in our society over the last generation. See, what's your point, Pastor? The point is this. God gives you a pastor, you got to listen to him. God gives you a church, it ought to be your church. You ought to invest in it. You ought to be a part of it. You ought to work in it. Truth of the matter is, a pastor should never say, yeah, please tithe, please give. Matter of fact, I've made a vow to God, I'm not going to beg anybody to do what they ought to do. So what's your point? If it's really yours, you're going to invest in it. See, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? A pastor can weave that in anywhere. But that's not my point. My point is, God gives you a pastor, God gives you a church, God gives you people in their life. And if they're the right people, all it should do is amplify his voice. Amplify what he's saying. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not the example of what a pastor's supposed to be, but if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, really what I'm saying is, pay closer attention to what he's saying to you. Pay closer attention to what he said. Now this week, when we go out, hear him only. You don't have to obey me. You don't have to listen to me, but you better listen to him. Hear him only. And when we stumble and we fall and we mess up, you know why we do that? It's because we're flesh. It's because we're failure. But it comes down to, man, if we had listened to him, we'd be in a better place. We'd be doing a lot better. I wonder if Jesus had those three men's attention. For a little while he did. But they're like us, we wonder. don't know about you, and he said, it's okay, get up. I'd have got up. Let's go down. I'd have marched right down with him. Listen to everything that he has to say. Hey, let's let the voice of God. Let's not just be going one ear and out the other. You and I both, we've both met people who grew up in church, can probably recite more scripture than we can. But their lives are a mess. You know why? Because they heard, but they didn't listen. Does that make sense? They let other voices get in there. Something happened in their life that disappointed them. And they had to give their commentary on why this happened. And every once in a while, it would be good for us to remember this story where God say, hush, and just listen to Him. And if He's not saying anything, then just hush anyway. But a lot of times we can't hear what He says to us because of all the noises. Young people, don't let the noises of this world and people's opinion supersede God. And this is just a good time on that note to let me remind you, your pastor knows more than your friends know. Your parents know more than your friends know. And I'll just say this, I know more about what God wants for you than Aunt Susie does. Well, you ought to go and do this. Aunt Susie hadn't prayed for you. Does anybody have an Aunt Susie? I don't know. That's just who came to mind. Oh, you do? Okay. All right then. Well, on that, we'll just say God knows who needed to hear that. Or what Uncle Joe or Uncle John, anybody got one of those? Are you okay? See, God knows. He knows, you know, the pastor knows that. As we, you know, why? Because it's just about the voice. It's about His voice. Father, help us tonight as we consider these